Business Brain, episode 541 for Wednesday, April 17th, National Crawfish Day, 2024. Greetings, folks, and welcome to Business Brain, the show where we take an idea or six. We dissect it, we crunch it, we analyze it so that each of us gets the opportunity to tune our business brains every single episode we get together here in Durham, New Hampshire. I'm Dave Hamilton.
And I'm still out here in Lafayette, California. I'm Shannon Jean. And if you're watching the live stream, you'll notice a third video stream up there today. We've got a guest and happy to have Gabe Treviso with us today. I met Gabe not too long ago, a few months ago, but right, Gabe? Is it?
Yeah, it feels like years, but it's been a couple weeks.
It does, yeah. But thanks for, it's been a few weeks.
In a good way.
Okay, that was my next question. Do we need to end it here? Like,
thanks for listening, folks.
That's right.
Yeah, but Gabe, thanks for coming on the show. Really happy to have you. I know our listeners will be happy and interested to hear about your background. It's pretty cool.
Honored. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, okay. So I met Gabe as part of a growth group up on the X platform. We're all building something up there that I think is pretty exciting. Gabe, give us a bit, our listeners a background on what you're doing. I know you're involved in various businesses and kind of how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. I often think about it. I am involved in quite a bit of businesses. I think to bring it back to when I started, I started a real estate appraisal company back in 2012. And with that, I grew it into a smaller real estate appraisal firm. But I always had the entrepreneurial itch and I always had like the dreamer mind and like problem solving. And it was always around like the product side of stuff. So even as a kid growing up, I had a mom who really encouraged like that artistic side as far as like, oh yeah, that's great. Like you can,
it's cool.
You know, yeah. You want to invent this? Like, what about, she was just always like very hands-on with like, oh yeah, you can do that. Like try this. So that was cool. So I always had that growing up. And then when I finished college, I graduated from Arizona State, not really knowing what I was going to do. I thought I wanted to be a firefighter. That was kind of what I thought I was going to do. But I fell into real estate appraisals, which is very niche. And that was like 2006 when the market was going crazy. Right. So it was easy to fall into it. It was good. It was good money. Newly married. It was just something that, I kind of fell into, learned a lot about real estate. And then I started my own company, like I said, in 2012 or so, ran that. It wasn't until like 2018, to where I was able to actually get into a product business. And that's where Suds to Go came from, the company that I took on to Shark Tank.
Yeah, that's cool.
I want to know more about that. Wait a minute. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't have product business background, anything like that. Other than just the background I shared with you as far as being a dreamer as a kid and wanting to invent something and having ideas. But in 2000, I think it was like 18, we had just had our fourth kid. So, young parents, I think we had four under six at that time, four under seven. So we were crazy busy.
Yeah. You were buried. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were at the point of our lives where like we had these little kids and they're just like germ magnets. And like, we realized that, hey, like when one of them gets sick, like all four get sick, and it's not like simultaneously. It's like over a period of like a month.
Oh yeah.
And the house is just sick and everybody's miserable. Nobody's sleeping. So we became more aware of like, hey, you know, like let's keep our hands clean and maybe our kids won't get sick as much. So we kind of were geared towards that mindset, and we kept finding ourselves in situations where we couldn't wash our hands for various reasons. The bathroom's far away at the park. maybe there's no bathroom at all. It's a porta john, whatever it is. Sure. But then any parents out there that are listening with kids or young kids, you know, the problem is like you load them into your car and they want to eat, right? Like right away they get back in the car and they're like, it's snack time.
Food.
I want to eat.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Right. So yeah, you give them food and then like they're eating with dirty hands. They're getting sick. So that's the backstory of Suds to Go. So we went to a party at a park, and same ordeal, like the kids were playing, it was time for pizza. The bathroom was way too far away. And they had hand sanitizer. And I remember having my little 4-year-old with me, and they put the hand sanitizer on his hands, and he rubbed his hands together, and his hands were just like brown with like wet dirt.
Oh, nice.
And then pizza time. And I'm like, there's no way that's working.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is we're not germ, like people automatically are like, you're the biggest germaphobe. And I mean, I was never a germaphobe, but this kind of problem led me to like this concept of, hey, we left that party and my wife's like, you know, go on Amazon, go on Google, find us a mobile hand washing system. That's what we need. We need to be able to wash our hands anywhere we go. Okay, I can do that. So I go on Amazon, nothing. I go on Google, nothing. And so my brain automatically is like, ooh, light bulb.
Ding, like, ding, hey, opportunity, yeah, knocks.
That's right.
Opportunity. And I'd already like given her, my wife, 30 different ideas, you know, over the first couple
products.
Years. And she's like, no, that's stupid. No, that's stupid. No, it's dumb. So I brought this one to her and she's like, I'd buy that. Let's do it. Well, there it is. Yeah. Let's do it. Right. It sounds a lot easier than what it was.
Come on. Don't tell
me what you're telling me. That just because you had an idea, you weren't like instantly wealthy. The idea itself wasn't worth something. That seems crazy to me.
No, I mean that. Yeah, I like how Shannon likes to talk about tuition, you know, and the tuition paid on Suds to Go for me was crazy because we, you know, so like I said, never done it before. Don't have a product background. I have an idea. It seems simple, right? It just seems like a simple idea. But the fact that it's never been out there lends its own difficulties.
Yeah, it's like you have to educate people.
Education is super expensive.
Yeah.
Education is expensive as can be. But not only that, like to go from idea to concept is crazy in itself. Like, you know, the process is you work with design engineers, you work with patent attorneys, you work with, you're working with those two types of people. They're very expensive.
Yeah. I was going to say everybody along the way is taking money out of your pocket.
Right. Yeah. And there's so many iterations of the product to begin with, to go to, it's to where you go from an idea to that bottle right there. That was our first product. That was the first bottle that we took on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Nice. And we later came out with the attachable refillable caps that I think you were showing. Yeah. Those things.
Yeah. Most of our listeners are listeners and so won't be seeing the video, but we'll put a link to both the Amazon page and the product page here in the show notes at businessbrain.show. So you can see, but yeah, there's the first product that you have, it's a pump that's like the size of a large water bottle. And then there's an attachment that goes on an actual water bottle. So yeah.
Yeah. So we had a couple different concepts. So just to go from there, it was like a 14 month, multiple six figure investment.
Wow.
On my end, to go from idea to like getting our first, you know, shipment of product here. But the crazy thing is like we get our first bottles. I think we had 4,000 of them land January of 2020.
Wow.
A mobile hand washing system, January of 2020. So COVID hit, you know, right around that same time.
Oh, yeah.
And
was that sold. A good like, thing right. for you or a bad thing for you? Right. I could see COVID taking both. This either way. Yeah. Okay.
Both. Yeah.
It was both. Like, it was both. I mean, we sold the whole idea was like, hey, we got this product. We got 4,000 of these original bottles. My wife is going to sell those on the side as a side business.
Yep.
And if we sold them in a year, we were going to be happy.
That's cool.
Well, COVID hit and we sold them in 4 weeks.
Wow.
And things went crazy. Shark Tank came calling. Well,
so they contacted you or you reached out? Give us some background on how that
experience. Right away, like, and I, okay. So Shark Tank is a whole, so Shark Tank, being my mind of being like, hey, like I love invention, I love new ideas, I love concepts. So Shark Tank, so I'm like Shark Tank fanboy back in the day. I watched every episode. I loved the show. I loved it. So the idea of being on Shark Tank was a dream. So in 2018 or 19, when I first created the concept, right away we launched an Instagram page, and I started like reaching out to their executive producer on IG. And she was responsive, and she's like, oh yeah, that's cool. Like, where are you selling it? Oh, I'm not selling it yet. It's just a concept. Like, and she's like, eh, that's not really what Shark Tank wants. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So throughout the next year or so, you know, when we went from idea to concept, and we started selling, I kind of dropped it because we were so busy with selling it because of COVID driving the sales. I didn't even think about Shark Tank. And then, so we got a DM in our IG page saying, hey, like, have you submitted application this season for Shark Tank yet? And I'm like, no, I haven't. And she was like, yeah, you really should, you know? So, I mean, they reached out and we did the process, and it's pretty extensive.
Yeah.
And then we went through the process and we were able to pitch in, I think it was August of 2020. We actually went to Vegas and we pitched season 12.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah. And that, was it the experience that you thought you would have? Or just about going and doing the show after watching it for all these years. Yeah. Was it similar to that? What you had thought?
So the way I look at it now is like there's Shark Tank, the show, and then there's Shark Tank, the producing team and stuff. Like the experience of being on Shark Tank was amazing. I mean, I would do it again and again and again. Yeah, right.
That's cool.
Saying that there's Shark Tank, the show that we all see, and then there's Shark Tank, the business that sort of happens underneath that, and the show might just be the tip of the iceberg. Is that kind of a good way to see it? Okay.
Yeah. I think what I used to think of Shark Tank was, hey, this is an opportunity for emerging entrepreneurs, emerging product businesses, or whatever it might be, to go in, pitch to investors who are going to be that are going to get their hands dirty in your business, right? Like they're going to actually help you. They're going to want to help build something with you side by side. Cause that's what you see in most of the episodes, you know, that's what you see in like the redos and stuff like that.
Yep.
That wasn't my experience. And, you know,
so you did get a deal though, right? From Shark Tank. Okay.
Yeah, we got multiple offers. We got an offer from Damon, and then we took the deal from Robert.
Okay.
And so we were all excited, right? I mean, if you watch our episode, like Robert was like, ah, if I can sell $100 million worth of ugly sweaters, I can sell $100 million of this. And sure. I'm like, oh, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah,
like,
those are big numbers. Yeah,
that's
right.
Those are big numbers. That's a big promise, right? And I think, you know, looking back now, you know, I always thought that Shark Tank, when I found out I was going to be on Shark Tank, I thought, oh, we made it, right? We've made it.
That's what I would think immediately.
Right? For a product business, I would think so. Yeah, right. Yeah.
People still have that perception. But the coolest thing that came out of it is like, when I look at Shark Tank now, I look at it as like the first step of where I'm going. Because I feel like that gave me like so much confidence and like knowledge, intuition. to learn and grow, right? Like, so I don't want to jump ahead, but like as far as product businesses now I'm working on three other startups that are wrapped around product. And now I know the steps, you know what I mean? Now I know the steps. I kind of know what to do and who to go to. And besides that, I have a lot of good relationships with other Shark Tank companies to where like, hey, I need a sales guy in this, or you guys have walked this path with your product. It's not anywhere, nothing like Suds to Go. So that wouldn't help me there. But
so how did you make those connections? Just, is there like groups that form of people that have been on the show?
Support groups for former Shark Tankers.
Yeah.
So the coolest thing that ever came out of Shark Tank for me was when we got out of Shark Tank, there's a private Facebook group and it's only founders only that have stepped on the carpet and pitched. So
that's cool.
That's all it is. So there's like I don't know, maybe 200 and something people in there. But everybody, you know, like our growth groups on X, like everybody is willing and helpful because they understand your path. I mean, they understand the struggle, how hard it is.
Yeah.
So everyone's looking out for each other. They want to help each other. So I always tell people, like, that's the greatest thing that came out of Shark Tank for us is that group, because
it's terrific.
You know, just like anything else, it's networking.
Yes. Yeah. And that's it's, I mean, cool. The value in that is potential value, right? Like, you then have to take advantage of it, just like everything else in our lives, right? It's like, it's not like you walked into that group and it was like, oh, here's everything handed to you. Like, that's not how it works. Right. But, but you have this network and people who, you know, that shared crisis, and crisis might or might not be the right word, but, you know, that shared experience, that shared tuition, if you will, puts you in a different category when you're in that category, right? When you're hanging with your neighbors, they don't care. But, you know, I've been there. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Yes. Yeah.
Credibility, right?
Credibility in the right scenario. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So you're still doing Suds to Go. You've got some other stuff going on. Talk to me about how you manage your time, because we did a show on this last week that kind of was the instigator was a discussion that I had with you and the other guys in our growth group about, hey man, you know, I can't be on my phone doing this all day or answering, you know, when you have a viral post, and you've had quite a few on X, when you've got, you know, 200,000-300,000, a million views, you're just inundated with stuff. So how do you manage your time so you don't go nuts?
Oh man, if I showed you my desk,
you would laugh. Why do you think I have this curtain behind me?
I mean, I have this, you know, people laugh at, like, and my wife would probably not laugh, but I find peace in the chaos. So like when my life is like busy, and I don't like to use the word busy, when I have a lot of stuff that
we like to use the word productive here.
Yeah. When I have a lot of projects going on, I feel like I'm more productive. So I've had to learn. I mean, I'm in the process finally. And this is like what's awesome about X is, as of like, you know, 7 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, I used X primarily just to like post about sports, post about just stupid stuff that doesn't really matter. Like, I wasn't trying to build anything on X. Once I started to actually focus on like, hey, like X is a networking tool. I've learned so much and I've met so many great people, and not only great people, but great business minds. And even to the point where, you know, one of those ideas that I'm working on right now is with somebody on X, that has great abilities and skills. So, and that's just in like a few months. Right. So like, to get back to your question about like, how do you organize or what do you do? Like, through X, I also met Parker Cox, who has, you know, there's a lot of guys that have offshore placement companies. Well, through him, you know, I was able to connect with him and get on his network. And I'm going to be adding she's a very high-end executive assistant. I hate to call her that because I think she's still a lot.
Yeah,
chief of staff. That's the word that we use.
Yeah.
But I'm excited because like her background is in operations and procedures and all that sort. So my idea is that she's going to help me organize my brain, making me that much more powerful. You know.
Yeah.
Effective, efficient, all those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's terrific. It's always a challenge, and I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs, and you know, jump on a bunch of calls, and everyone, you know, learning that or adopting some sort of system that keeps you or allows you to disconnect, you know, go back into the house and be with your kids, all that kind of stuff. All three of us here talking right now, we all have separate structures at our home that allow us to disconnect and walk out to another place. And I that is just a huge
It was easier benefit. Before I had an iPhone. It was more effective before I had an iPhone.
Oh yeah, of course, because you got your phone in your pocket all the time. Yeah, you're right. Exactly. You're right. I know.
Like, yeah. I was thinking about that earlier today. That you know, we've been in this house almost 19 years, and so the iPhone has not existed that long. It's like, you know, there used to be a better separation between the house and the office than there is now. But I mean, it's fine. Like I manage it, but it's just it. I am aware of this particular truth. So,
yeah, that's great. Okay, so I always say this: mistakes are tuition, you know. And so I'm always interested in talking about people or talking to people and asking them. And maybe it makes me feel better because I've made so many mistakes. But like, if I asked you, okay, what is the best mistake you think you've ever made that really taught you an important lesson? Something that you've turned into, you know, fuel or for your, you know, yourself or just something that stuck with you, what would you say?
That's a good question. I think I look at, like, when you're asking, I'm thinking about my different businesses, and I think there's different high cost lessons in each of them. If we're talking about Suds2Go, I think not setting up foundation was the biggest issue with that company. And is still the biggest issue that I'm still figuring it out.
Like operations and stuff, that kind of thing, or
operations, foundations. I think, you know, when Dave asked, was COVID good or bad for it? And I said both. That's an honest answer because I feel like, you know, we grew at such a fast, rapid rate. I wasn't able to like put in foundational operations, and this is how we do this. This is how we, let's test this out. Let's see what works here. Let's see what doesn't work. Everything.
But would you do that with a new business? Like, I get it. When you start to grow, you wish you had better foundations. I mean, that's certainly been true of me with, I think, every single business I've ever had. But if I look back and I say, okay, if I put in all, you don't need all the foundations, but you need the one that you need. And you don't get to know which one that is until it's too late. But if you put in everything, would you ever get your business off the ground? Like, you know, would you, that's always, and I ask that question because I've convinced myself that it's better to just like, you know, shoot first, ask questions later, right? You know, build the airplane while you're trying to land it. And that's a stressful scenario and it's not always successful, but
right.
If you try to build the perfect airplane before it ever takes off, well, you got to have a lot of runway, to mix our metaphors.
Yeah, no, I totally hear you. And I'm definitely the type to put an iteration out there and then perfect after.
Yeah.
So I get what you're saying. And that's what I do too. I just think, you know, rapid growth, it can be difficult. It can really difficult to navigate. Yeah. And I feel like, and even like with Suds2Go, inventory purchasing, we purchased too much to the point where it crippled cash flow. So there's certain things that we did because we were trying to project rapid growth to where if we didn't have it, I feel like I would have managed it a lot better.
Now,
which I will in turn take
the next. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Be way better preparation.
You have that experience. Yeah, I think the takeaway for me when I listen to your story is the keep going part. It's that, okay, we tried something, maybe it didn't go exactly as we planned, but we look at all these talents, we added it to our talent stack, and now when I do it again, I think so many people stop, you know, and they're just like, that didn't work out. You just hear it over and over. That business, we tried to start a business and it didn't work out because of XYZ. It's like, okay, well, did you go to the next business or did you do the next product? That momentum and times, you know, there's a country song that I love and the something along the lines of when you're going through hell, just don't slow down, right? You have to just keep moving. And I can remember my wife reminding me of that when we were just going through dark times and struggling. She's like, well, you just have to keep moving. You can't stop because you'll just be here. So you got to get to the other side, even if it's, you know, doesn't work out perfectly, which it probably never will. But all those things you learn now, they're going to make you so much more effective the next time you do it. For sure.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tuition,
dude.
Yeah.
I use it every day.
Yep. It's how we justify paying for things. You just call it that.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, great. Yeah. Now, like that reframing is what you need to keep going. You have that failure. You're like, well, I screwed that up. I'm never going to try that again. No, you got to learn.
Try it again.
Definitely try it again. Yes. Like, you won't do that same mistake twice. You will do a different mistake, you know, but that's fine. Yeah.
And I think that's honestly, I think that is the biggest separator, though, too. I think most people, when given a reason to quit, they're going to quit.
Yep. Yes. So,
you know, you just don't know what's on the other side. So if you know, I don't know. I just feel like if you're pushing through to see what's on the other side, then you're not going to quit, right? Like so that curiosity too is also a driving force in what you're doing, why you're doing it.
Yeah.
At least for me, it is. And I feel like a lot of people, it's not easy, you know, like to read it on X and to like see it on X and like, hey, this person's doing this and they're posting, they're doing $300,000 a month in this. It's easy. It's nothing's easy.
No.
You know, everything, you know, nothing is easy. So if it sounds easy, it's not. And nothing is true until it's true.
Yeah. And you mentioned driving force. I want to ask you one question before we wrap up. One of the things you've done with like your brand, you talked about being a dad a lot and a husband and your family. And I love that. Other than building followers, which we're all, you know, we're kind of in the thick of it right now, but how does that drive you and how is that integrate into your brand of what you're doing?
You know, when I started trying to find my place in X, you know, a multifaceted, I have a lot of business experience in different fields, which is great, but there's a lot of guys that do that. Right. I mean, you can look through X and there's a lot of dudes that are great business dudes. And there's a lot of dudes that are great dads. I just think for me, I wanted to focus on what I'm most passionate about. And that's what I'm most passionate about. I mean, besides my businesses, which I'm busy doing, my weekends are revolved around my kids. My mornings, I come and work very early so I can get stuff done so I can be over there in the morning. Afternoon sports. I mean, just that's what my life is.
Yeah. When
you boil it down, you know what I mean? So I want to be what I'm about when you boil it down at the core, and that's what it is. I mean, the businesses are cool, but my family is it.
Yeah. We had a question, I think that's great. We had a question in the chat of how you plan to use this chief of staff position. You know, how is that person, you know, how will you integrate them into this, you know, planned chaos that you kind of described earlier?
Yeah. So, I mean, and so I don't want to get too deep in the weeds, but basically I have a number of, so I have my four guys that work for my appraisal company. I need to integrate communications between the teams. I need to integrate invoicing. Some of that stuff is what she'll help develop the procedures for. But there's a lot of work to do because that company is built strictly on word of mouth. I have no website presence. So there's a lot of things that she's going to work on as far as building out emails to current clients. So it's low hanging fruit, doing outreach, doing SEO, doing stuff. And she might not be doing all that stuff. She might be managing the people doing it. But together, we're going to build out a plan to stabilize my appraisal company. Once that's stabilized, I'll probably add on a few other people below her that'll help build out the rest of my companies. That's the long-term idea. Now, whether or not I can execute it, to be determined. But yeah, so her coming on board right now is more of just like chief of staff. Like she's going to be my right there with me until we figure this out. So,
yeah.
Is this a remote, like, is this somebody here in the U.S. that you're hiring as the chief of staff? Is it?
She's remote.
Offshore or something.
Offshore.
Okay. Yep. Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
Right. I think one of the key things you said is that how she's not responsible to do everything. But she's managing all these other things that we need SEO, we need to build a website out. So rather than you having to be the point of, you know, point person with the web developer or with an SEO person, you'll be like, oh, I'll have so-and-so reach out to you and she'll manage. She manages that relationship. And that's important. And I think that's where that holds people back from hiring this type of role often, because they think, well, I got to find somebody that knows how to do SEO and this and that. No,
you need somebody to take that responsibility off your plate and give them a budget and let them do it. Cause you were going to give yourself a budget to do it. Just give them the budget, let them do it. Report back to you.
And especially with, and that's why I really like Pivago.
What's this? Pivago? Say this again. Pivago.
Yeah. P-A-V-A-G-O, I think.
Yep.
But it's, I think so. Parker Cox's company.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's great is, like, you know, I was able to interview her. I was able to, you know, interview as many people as I needed to. I interviewed her because they provided an interview of her to me on that they did on Zoom. And so when I interviewed her, I was able to ask her those specific questions, right? And to ask her, like, how would you handle this situation? And how would, you know, what would you do in this situation? Because I wanted to be very clear, like, I'm not going to be holding your hand. You know, I need somebody who's strong in operations and also strong as a strong self-starter, because I can give you the idea of, like, hey, this is what we need to do. You know, we need to develop a program where my team can chat together. We need to develop a program to keep my clients updated on orders. That's what I'm going to give her to do. And then she's going to either, you know, sink or swim. But I think she's going to swim, because I was able to kind of quiz her on that and she had a good ideas already. So obviously, you know, I haven't gone this route, but I'm hopeful and I'm confident it's going to work out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have the right mindset. And I think I love this agency model where, you know, they're pre-screening for people and you're answering a ton of questions about what exactly do you need help with, so they can kind of give you, oh, we've hired, you know, hundreds of people, we know the type of person.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, so they're kind of, it's, you're not going on, you know, some platform on your own and just randomly.
I've tried that. Yeah, I tried that.
It's a little more difficult. I've done it too.
It is. I will say we used a service like this for something completely different, not for a chief of staff thing, but we've used a service like this before. And what we've found is that they do bring in fantastic, qualified, driven candidates, and they're awesome for about 2 years. And at that point, what we found, one of them had three full-time jobs at that point.
Yeah.
Another one was doing a different thing. But it was fine because the 2 years up to that was great. And so what we've learned is to sort of track how we have trained these people. So if and when we need to go back to the agency, it, you know, it was not Pivago. We used a different agency. We used the folks at HireSmart that we interviewed on the show here, Shannon.
That's right.
Years ago. And and we went back to them and we're like, this person did work out. They are no longer working out. We need you to help us replace them, because you're paying the company a fee, I assume, every month for this too. And they were super responsive. They're like, well, can we work to try and solve it with them first? And with one of them, we were like, yes. And with another, we were like, nope. It's an unsolvable thing. Like, the trust is gone. But they were like, okay, no problem. And we had kind of a punch list of, all right, here's what we need from this person that we'd added to from when we went through what you're going through, you know, selecting the candidate. So keep revising that, so that if you, I'm not saying you will wind up in this, but I'm pretty sure you will. But just be ready for it and you'll be totally fine, because you'll have Pivago on your side to take through this. It's it just know that it's different than hire. It's a different mindset. A cultural mindset of the employee when you're hiring them remotely versus here in the US. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's not bad. It just kind of is, you know,
and yes. Yes.
And tuition. So there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
It
yeah.
looks like we can't send comments back to X for whatever reason, but we're getting some questions. I'll put them in the notes, or the follow-up post on this that's live right now on X. If you're looking for them,
well, you could reply as Business Brain on X, Shannon.
Yeah,
just log in as that, and then it'll all then you can reply. Yeah.
Then I get it. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah. Well, Gabe, I love learning more about you. Every time we have a call, I think I connect with you even more. It's terrific. I love what you're doing, what you're building, and the fact that you're focused and you're driven by your family. I've used that same framework for decades, and it really paid off. So, thank you again for coming on the show, man.
No, thank you. It was awesome.
Yeah. Thanks for. Thanks, Gabe. What's that?
I said, thank you for your time. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you for your time. Folks who are listening, thank you for your time. Feedback@businessbrain.show. That's where you can get in touch with us. You can also find us on X at BizBrainShow and all the socials, of course. We appreciate your time. We appreciate hearing from you. And keep on living that charmed life, huh? That's what we're all about here. And enjoy. We'll see you on the next episode. I don't know if we're doing one on Friday, Shannon, or if we're doing one next week. All right.
We're doing one on Friday.
All right. Yep. There it is.
Yep.